Thinking about you, that brings the time to almost 7 minutes past 11, and I'm pleased to be joined in the studio by our very own Paul Golder, chairman of Phoenix FM, who's also taking an interest in local politics at the moment. You've been to the weekly council briefing.
Yeah, I'm loving it, actually. This is the fourth briefing.
Right.
Fourth briefing. And it gives an opportunity to actually just find out what, it's not all political spin, it's all about what the council were hoping to do. Obviously, it's interesting because we've got new leadership with people who've been sitting in opposition for many years, and they've obviously been wound up and ready to do things on the day that they come in, and now they're in, they've got all these great ideas. So it is interesting.
So it sounds good. This is mainly a press briefing, I believe, is it? Or is it an open public meeting?
It's a press briefing. Right, they talk to us and the local newspapers as well.
Okay, so what did they talk about today?
Well, we started off with there was a lot of doom and gloom from Essex County Council. Now, a few things that have been happening this week with a few meetings, which the leader of Brentwood Council, Barry Aspinall, talked about, wasn't very happy about. The first one was, you may be aware that the former leader of Essex County Council, or Lord Hanningfield, had some expenses woes and spent some time in the big house as a result of it.
Yes.
He still owes, or he has over received between £50,000 and £150,000 from Essex County Council.
Well, I didn't realise it was that high. I'd heard a figure of £50,000.
Yeah, and, well, they think it could be. They don't think it was properly analysed. Minimum 50,000, let's put it that way. The 150 is a possibility, but certainly 50,000 upwards. And there was a vote this week, and Barry's not happy because he wanted action to be taken against him to recover the money for the benefit of Essex County Council taxpayers. Yeah. And it has been decided by the council that they will not take any action to recover the money.
Right. From what I read, they've been told it would be uneconomical to pursue in the light of the chances of success. But I have a question for Essex County Council, really. I mean, if these expenses are dodgy, why were they paid out and authorised in the first place? And
I guess it's just a failing of the system.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're used to just handing in a request for expenses and they get paid and there's no questions asked, then you just carry on doing it, don't you? You know,
it's a poor culture, really, I would have said. But anyway, that's just my opinion. I'll shut up and let you tell us more.
Now, secondly, at Essex County Council, there was a motion put forward by Lib Dem councillor David Kendall, who we know on the station. Yeah. And what he wanted was in May 2015, to coincide with the general election, he wanted there to be a referendum for all boroughs in Essex to ask voters if they want to have the lights turned back on. Okay. And if they did, who should pay for it? Should it be their local authorities, obviously with the implication that they would then have to pay for it through extra council tax or whatnot. And Barry is not happy because the motion was put forward to ask for this referendum to let the people decide, and the ruling Conservatives defeated it.
Right.
So not going to happen. Nice idea, but not happening.
Well, there's divided opinions over that one anyway. Some people love the lights being switched off, the likes of astronomers and people like that.
True,
But the safety implications are pretty severe, I think, really.
Yeah.
You know,
I should point out that I like the idea of seeing the night sky as it was when I was a child with no light pollution. Yeah. I like the idea, but I am not awake after midnight. No. So it's kind of a moot point, as they say.
Ditto,
so
all right, we got something about car parking.
We've got more Essex County Council.
Oh, beg your pardon.
First.
You are
asking me with about 30 seconds preparation, which
okay.
is good. So,
no,
good.
That's fine. Okay.
Now, this is another matter which Barry's not very happy about. He has been asking for 2 years for the white lines in Ongar Road all the way up from Pilgrim's Hatch and beyond down to Wilson's Corner, and then along Shenfield Road from Wilson's Corner down to Mount Nessing. He's been asking for the white lines to be renewed because they've been in very bad shape.
Yeah.
And they were renewed 4 weeks ago. They were repainted, and then SEP, who are the South Essex Parking Partnership, also renewed all their yellow lines, which are the ones that they use to get money off errant parkers.
Yes.
And that was all done 4 weeks ago. Great. Anyway, now apparently, and they closed all the roads as well to do that because they did the painting overnight at a cost of, you know, five figure sum. It's over £10,000.
Right.
It's the cost in closing the roads. Now, I have been told, and I haven't personally gone down and checked this myself, but I've been told now that all those roads have now been resurfaced. So all that money and time was wasted just 4 weeks after. And Barry's hopping mad.
That's incredible. So
the resurfacing would have been booked in at some time, and he wants to know why that information was not cross-referenced with the person who decided to, you know, why whoever said, yeah, let's repaint the roads, didn't then go to find out that this was happening in such a short space of time. Even 6 months might have been bad, but to do it so soon afterwards. So.
I'm speechless. I don't know. It's just a crazy waste of public money, isn't it? Absolutely
incredible. If that's the correct, and obviously we haven't got the other side of the story to hear what happened, but if that's the facts, then you've got to put your hands up and say, waste. Big bad thing. So, not happy. So, the doom and gloom continues, and we're away from Essex County Council now and on to Brentwood and the car parking.
Right.
We talk about that most weeks. You know, we talk about it. Now, there was a decision by the previous administration at Brentwood to reduce the car parking charges. They decided in February, and it came into effect in May, just before the election.
Yeah.
Now, Barry has said that he has been talking with the deputy leader and the acting chief executive as well of the council, and they've been looking into the projections, the amount of money that the council had previously said that they were going to earn from car parking. And he said that, in his own words, the projections going forward are dire, and there will be a massive shortfall in the projected budget, which is obviously going to impact on services because the council is not earning anywhere near as much money as they thought they were going to do. Now, they're going to revisit the budget because it was one of their commitments when they took power in May, and obviously the parking income is one component of it, but he's very concerned about the fact that so much, and I don't have the figures in front of me, but he said so much was projected, and he said there's going to be a big shortfall now because the money that is going into those machines does not match what the council were told they were going to receive.
The expectations,
so not happy about that, not happy. And he says on the same lines, he says they're looking into the costing of William Hunter Way over the last few years, and he said it's frightening, he says, what has been wasted on the scheme. And he says he hasn't got all the figures yet, but some of them may be coming out in I think it's asset panel meeting next week, and some of the figures will be coming out then, so he will be talking about how much has actually been spent on nothing.
This
basically
is all on sort of consultants fees and things like that over the 8 years that it was an ongoing project.
So he's going to talk about how much they found has been spent on it with no effect. So a lot of doom and gloom to start with, but then he's got some positives that he talked about as well. He says there's two organisations in Brentwood that Brentwood Borough Council are very proud of. The first one is Essex Dog Display Team.
Oh, yes.
With Roy and Carol Dyer, who've been running it. They're celebrating 35 years of doing it. And, you know, on a personal note, I don't see Roy and Carol very much anymore. Right. I think, you know, we're busy people, and I know they're only just a little bit down the road. They are our neighbours, but we really should see more of each other. But Roy and Carol were instrumental in helping Phoenix get set up in 1996.
Oh, I didn't know
so,
that.
So they were a big help. When I had the idea of starting Phoenix, I went around the town asking people who I thought were kind of influential in the town and could help us out. And Roy did help us out. He managed to get us premises, which were downstairs in 14 Ongar Road, which is now Brentwood Mines offices. And we had a little room. We had a couple of little rooms at the back, but we had the run of the whole building, which was nice. So we did our first broadcast from there, which was good. And Ian Pont, former cricketer, broke their sink by sitting in it for no reason. Okay, I just thought I'd add that. I don't know why. Just came to mind. But Roy helped us get that. Roy put us on the big stage at the fireworks in 1996 before we'd done any broadcasting, which was nice. It was the only time we did it. It was a nice little boost, and you know, he helped us within the town. So you know, we're grateful to Roy for a little bit of a foot up that he gave us. And you know, with regards to his dog display team, they've got international renown. They've they've hosted displays all around the world. They've done royal variety performances and that kind of thing. And Roy himself, and this is something I didn't know, this is something I learned from the meeting today, he hosts a class every week to combat fear of dogs in children and animals.
Oh, excellent.
And there is a word for it, but I don't know what it is.
Right.
He said I'd know, but I don't. He says Roy gets results in a few weeks, and it's something that renowned psychologists cannot get within 6 months. And these guys are now looking at Roy's techniques and adopting them nationwide. So they're actually looking at his dog psychology, if you
fantastic,
like.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And they're seeing him as an expert, someone who's, and he does these classes free of charge as well. And he's somebody who puts a lot into the community.
Yes. Yeah.
The council want to do something to recognise that. So that came up in the meeting today.
Quite right. Too, yeah.
And another group who the council want to recognise, the Royal British Legion Youth Band.
Oh yes, fantastic like. Organisation.
Good
yep.
guys, good yep. guys, and they're celebrating 25 years next year
yep.
As an organisation. And they're worldwide known. They've done performances all over,
yep.
Particularly in the USA. They went over some years ago to do a parade. I think it was a 5-mile parade from with a number of other marching bands from the USA. Going up to the Rose Bowl.
Okay.
It was an American football thing, and it's I don't think anyone in England knows what it's all about, but you know, there's a lot of pomp and ceremony, marching bands, and apparently the Brentwood guys did the 5-mile march playing music all the way. A lot of the other marching teams did the first 400 yards or so, got in the coach, did 4.5 miles, and did the last bit as well.
Yay,
so
well done,
you know, yeah, good old Brentwood, UK,
yeah, yeah,
because there was a twinning, because Brentwood there's a Brentwood in Tennessee,
right.
And that was part
so
of the.
So, how are these celebrations to take place? What sort of form are they?
To be honest, I don't know. Again, with everything with the council, a lot of it is as soon as they start formulating the plans, they want to announce it.
Okay, so it's just an initial idea at the moment.
I imagine there's going to be some kind of, you know, incorporation into the events or something like
yeah.
that. You know,
yeah.
or extra sponsorship or that kind of thing. But these are two organisations. You know, they're not run for profit. They're run for the good of the
absolutely.
Community. You know, yeah. dog training, dog display, very important for people who like dogs. Youth band, again, very important for
yep.
a section. You're never going to get something that everybody's going to be happy with, but obviously a lot of people have got their own projects that they're passionate about, and they put a lot of time in, whether they're organising or participating. And these are two of them, and the council say they've provided a lot of social gain over the last 25-35 years in
yeah.
some cases, and they want to recognise that.
Yeah.
So you know,
well,
yeah,
a great
good
positive,
on them.
Yeah.
yeah good on
and
them.
I hear you might have some news about the Brentwood Centre.
Well, yes, yes. we're not quite sure what news, but what was mentioned was that Barry had a walkthrough on Tuesday. I think came in during John's show. Well, not John's show, Scott Ross's show. That was it.
Yes, that's right.
I don't think
yeah.
John was in that day.
No.
He came in with Colin Savelle, who's a former chief executive at the council.
Okay.
In fact, he was the chief executive when Phoenix started, and
right.
Then presented a show for us, which was nice.
Oh,
a business
lovely.
Show, which
yeah.
was nice. I haven't
yeah.
seen Colin in years, but very nice guy. And he also came down with the architect who built the centre, Phil Blower. Now, that must have been 32 years ago, I think,
so,
or more. So
yeah.
it's quite a long time ago. And and with Roger Davinson, who, of course, is the chief executive of the Brentwood Leisure Trust.
Mm.
And now Barry says he needs further investigation, but he's now got a firm grip on the problems that are in the Brentwood Centre. Basically, the building has, you know, in Barry's words, been underinvested over the years and needs refurbishment. And I think, to be fair to the opposition, I think they actually agreed with that situation, and they were also looking at plans to do something with
right.
the Brentwood Centre
yeah.
Before they lost power in May. Now, and Barry also gave us the classic Mark Twain rumours of the death of the Brentwood Centre is greatly exaggerated.
Okay.
So
well.
I didn't, I mean, we're in the Brentwood Centre. I didn't actually hear any rumours that it was going to die, but you know, I think a lot of people were, I don't know, actually I've heard a couple of rumours that they were going to knock it flat, but
yeah.
but you know, rumours are
well
rumors,
as long as they let us get out first before they start knocking it down.
Yeah, just
yeah.
10 minutes notice would be nice. Yeah. But you know, Barry's very proud of the centre. He says, you know, the gym is full of new equipment, modern, 21st century, rivals any gym in Brentwood, and it has the advantage that we've got a lot of car parking here as well, which I think we also appreciate here on Phoenix FM. Lots of car parking for us and our guests.
Yep.
Brilliant. Price is also comparable with other gyms. The club membership is growing for the gym and swimming pool and all the activities that happen, which is great. And I hope that Phoenix FM has played a part in that, because we do what we can to promote the Brentwood Centre.
Absolutely.
Little plug for Phoenix there for no reason. But I think it's important to mention. It says the main hall, what they call the International Hall, is in need of some attention, needs a new roof and so on. So he's thinking of doing like a 21st century thing where there's going to be like a lot more solar panels and that kind of thing. So try and generate a lot of power for the centre. And there's a lot of energy saving devices have gone in. Roger was at the meeting and he also said that energy saving has actually reduced the power in terms of kilowatts by 40% over the last 10 years.
Wow, now, that's amazing.
the actual amount of money that's being spent on light and heat in this place has doubled. More than doubled in 10 years, but that's because the price per unit has gone up. If you hadn't saved that 40%, it would have tripled, or more than tripled, maybe quadrupled. Yeah. So, you know, there has been a lot of savings, but there's more that you can do. The council also want more events here, which is brilliant, because I remember when I was young, teenager, there were a lot of bands playing here, now there aren't. And when we moved here, thought, oh, great, we get all these guys coming and, oh, hang on a minute, they don't come in because they're not here.
Doesn't happen very often now, does it?
In two years, there's been very few musical performers who we've dragged in because there just haven't been musical performers. That's what the hall was set up for. And
we had David Essex last year, didn't we?
The manager... politely declined. Now David would be too busy, so Brian Powers just went out and got him anyway. and he sat in your very chair having a cup of tea, which is nice.
Good for you, Brian. Well done. Yeah.
So good old Mr. Essex, good guy. Yeah. So the biggest cost of the Brentwood Centre, of course, is running the swimming pool, which you can imagine costs an absolute arm and a leg, big time. And the council hope to put in more solar panels and so on to do that. Now, also the centre itself is very modular. You may know that there are corridors everywhere if you've been at the Brentwood Centre. Yeah. And it would make sense to knock down a lot of the outlying areas and rebuild it into something a little bit more compact. And that is a possibility. That is an idea that's been mooted.
Right.
So it's a possibility. I mean, at the moment, we are sitting here in converted...
Changing rooms.
They're kind of the space is kind of nice, but if I had a blank piece of paper, I would actually come up with a different design on how I would design a studio.
Yeah,
which I might well do.
Yes,
but I don't know whether I'm going to get away with it. But we're gonna give it a good shot. So obviously we like being in the Brentwood Centre, and the staff are great, and I hope we're here for many years to come, and working with them, and turn the place into a bit of a cultural hub for Brentwood, and Barry wants to do that. He wants to reinvigorate it and get it up as the borough's flagship again. So it's good news for the people of Brentwood. If you like the Brentwood Centre, there's going to be more money put into it. And I should add as well, importantly, that the council are looking to go through local development plans and so on. They're actually looking to refurbish or restructure the building at zero cost to Brentwood ratepayers, because they'll get the money from central government, which otherwise would have gone elsewhere to other projects up and down the country. So they're looking to do this without... They're not going to spend £20 million on this and you're going to pay for it through your council tax. Their aim is to make sure that it's done at a nil cost locally.
Great. All good positive news about the Brentwood Centre.
Pretty good,
Now, I'm looking at a headline here on the Brentwood Gazette website. It says, Boris Bike proposals for Brentwood slammed as bonkers.
Yeah.
Now, this came up in the meeting, didn't it?
Well, it did. Well, we talked a little bit about it at the briefing last week, because Barry wants the staff to... To get on their bike and go to work.
Yep.
Which, if you're not used to cycling, this is going to be a big ask, because the town hall is actually on the highest point of the borough.
Okay.
I've cycled up that hill myself a couple of times from Billericay, and it takes me 20 minutes quicker to cycle the other way from Billericay. Right. So it's a big old hill. So if you're not used to cycling, it's hard work. But he wants it. But he does it. Graham Clark does it, and a few other people. And you see bikes hanging around the town hall now, and he wants to do it. And his idea is that it will make people fitter. The scheme is going to be a scheme where you can lease the bikes and then buy them cheaply.
Right.
But it's a government scheme. Other places use it. I think I'm right in saying that Essex County Council use it, which is Conservative controlled. Right. I believe they've certainly got some kind of bike friendly thing going on down at the County Hall in Chelmsford. So as far as Barry's concerned, this is a good idea, because all it can do is get people fitter. And he did remark that it had been slammed by the opposition as being a bit bonkers, and couldn't really see why.
Right, yeah. Well, I don't see anything wrong with giving people the opportunity to lease a bike cheaply, or to have help in buying one, and the health benefits are only good, aren't they? Yeah.
I think I'd have been very interested if I was 18 years old working for the council.
Yeah.
I'm not interested now, but,
no,
you know.
Not
but
me, really.
But, you know, it's just a little thing, and again, he emphasises this is at zero cost. It's a government initiative, and if it's available, he wants to take it and use it for the benefit of his staff.
Yeah,
improve a bit of morale.
Sounds good. So another meeting next week. Will you be at that one?
Yes, I will. That's the plan. I'm going to be down there and see what extra news I got.
So, all right, lovely.
Should be good.
All right, Paul. Well, thank you very much. We better press on. Time is moving quickly, and we need to do this.
It's 98 FM.